It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics, 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 politics.
That's right. It's politics, politics, politics. Welcome and good morning. I am your host, Warren Markowitz, and this is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show, live on Spreaker.com. And, of course, carried on Podomatic at wrm.podomatic.com or at galtspeaks.com. You'll find us at Twitter and Facebook at Radio Markowitz. Welcome and good morning. Thank you very much for joining me today on this beautiful, well, I don't know where you are, but Las Vegas is gorgeous. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 degrees, and it's feeling like it's in the 70s. And for those of you who are on the East Coast and the weather's a little less pleasant, too bad. That's one of the reasons I left. We're talking about immigration today. And we're not talking about immigration because it's that time to bash the illegal immigrant or that time to say that America needs to close its doors because people don't qualify. No, it's that time because immigration is an important factor in the survival of America. As a matter of fact, immigration has been an influence in the growth of America, and immigration has been an influence in the death, that's right, I said it, the death of numerous historical empires. But again, it's not for the reasons you think. It's for the events that transpire. It's for the changes internally. Basically, folks, it's up to us to save this experiment. This isn't a racial thing. This isn't an ethnic thing. This isn't a, let's keep out the big bad Islamic, Lunatrons, or we don't like the brown people out of Africa. We don't like the semi-brown people out of Latin America. No, it is absolutely positively not even part of the equation. It's the issue of whether or not ideas that come to this country can support this country. And, when you look at some things and you look at statistics and you look at some numbers, and I did some reading this morning to help support my positions, you find support in very odd places, such as the Sierra Club, which is an environmental organization. And you wonder, is there some validity to this? Is there some position in which I think I can agree, even though I don't want to agree? But in the end, we are faced with a problem, and we are being played for the fools that we've become. Because we're being played by the political elites for one thing or another. We're being stacked against each other so that they can turn around and say, nope, there's the bad guy. Nope, he's over there now. Oh, wait, the Republicans are in power, so the Democrats are the bad guys. The Democrats are in power, so the Republicans are the bad guys. No, you're going to be severe. I'm telling you, if you stick with me for the next 50 minutes, you are going to be very surprised when you sit back and realize, I'd be an SOB. I have been manipulated, I have been played with, I have been directed, I have been told. Oh, wait a second. I think I've had this conversation with my kids before. You don't know to hate anybody. You're taught to hate somebody. It's the other guy. Anyway, listen, I'm really excited. I hope you are too. We're going to wander through this topic, but I am going to look to cover a lot. And I believe that when we finish, you'll sit back and wonder, why didn't we see this? How come we're not talking about this? Why isn't this part of the equation? Maybe the wall's a good idea. Maybe the wall's a bad idea. Maybe the wall is just a concept, not necessarily a construct. But either way, we will be talking about this right after this. Sit back, relax, enjoy. I will be back with you in just about a moment. I'm Warren Markowitz, and you're listening to The Warren Markowitz Show, live on Spreaker.com and on Podomatic, Blog Talk, and just about anywhere else you can find us on the internet. Oh, don't forget iTunes. Be right back.
The Warren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-3017 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-3017. Again, that's 800-711-3017.
Hey, we're back. All right. Thank you very much. Just a little brief reminder. If you have an opportunity, if you have an interest in any of the things that we use as sponsorship here on the show, please visit our sponsors. And it helps keep us going. And look for the Patreon page that will be coming up off of our Podomatic feed at GolfSpeaks.com so that you can also help support the podcast. All right. Here's the thing. Immigration has been a big deal. We talk about the idea of illegal immigration. We talk about the major topic nowadays is DACA. Okay, DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals that President Obama put in place with the swipe of a pen, quite literally, as a matter of fact, with the understanding that even he knew that what he was doing was illegal. But now President Trump, after putting in place the revocation of DACA, which is supposed to take place somewhere in March of 2018. Everybody's up in arms on how he's a heartless SOB, and he doesn't care about the kids, and he's going to rip apart families, and he's going to do all this fun stuff that's just going to undermine America. Wrong. Let's look at something for a second, please. We have two different types of visions of justice in this country. We have the traditional justice, which means everybody is equal in the eyes of the law. Now, you can argue till the cows come home whether or not you can afford a lawyer, whether or not you have the education to understand the system, whether or not this, that, or the next thing. The bottom line is the U.S. Constitution in and of itself, when it comes to the application of law, maybe not from the very beginning, but certainly by the time the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were passed, is colorblind. It doesn't care. The application of law is equal. Whether you've got $1 billion in your bank or whether you've got two nickels in your pocket or nothing for that matter, you are supposed to be treated equally. There are, and there will always be, prejudices by judges, lawyers, persons involved in the judicial system. We are people. We are flawed. Not to insult anybody, but the last time somebody claimed he was the perfect, the Romans had something to say about that. You understand? I mean, we're not deities. We're individuals. And we learn from our mistakes. But here's the thing. So you've got traditional justice, which is justice, period, end, finish, is one word, justice. And then you have these concepts of social justice, economic justice, gender justice, sexual justice. I mean, you put a defining element in front of it and it becomes something else. We're going to use social justice as this overwhelming term because you've got these people screaming that social justice, social justice. Listen, social justice is another word for you treat me different by institutionalizing it than everybody else. Social justice is a perfect example of apartheid. Yeah, that dirty little word that simply said, well, the blacks get treated one way and the whites got treated another way. And that's how the game is played. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't like a stacked deck. I got a big enough problem when I sit down at a blackjack table in Vegas and I see a 6-5 on blackjack instead of a traditional 3-2. And you may say, well, what's the big deal? Well, if you play blackjack long enough, you'll recognize the simple fact that you leave more money on the table with a 6-5 game, which benefits the house, than a 3-2 game. Or worse yet, play it on a single deck game, and the house odds are atrocious. I mean, you might as well just simply throw in your money in a slot machine. And by the way, sometimes that's what I do because I get fed up with just the idea of the shifty games. So you literally play a game. But it's the same concept. It's the same idea. Social justice, this concept or this compact, you have to treat people differently. And the reason why I bring this up is this. Those who were functioning under DACA had an obligation to themselves and their families to find a solution because it wasn't going to continue. The gravy train was going to end. They know it. They knew it. They were afraid of it when I got involved. They're afraid of it now when it goes away. And there are 800,000 potential deportees on the list. Not to ignore the fact that they've got their family members and their families and their friends and so forth. And then we've got the debate whether or not illegal born children are citizens of the United States, but that's an argument for another time because that actually has been being argued for like the last 125 years in regards to whether or not someone born to a foreign national here illegally is a citizen and whatnot. I'm not going to even get into that argument because you can make the argument for both sides, but this isn't the time or the place. So why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about immigration? And why are we talking about illegal immigration? It's not just illegal immigration. It's the problem. Immigration itself is an issue that America is faced with because we have allowed ourselves to get lazy. You see, I was looking for some statistics this morning about immigration. I was looking for some numbers, population growth figures, something to indicate whether or not we were literally importing our way out of being Americans. Now let that sink in. Are we importing our way out of being Americans? Are we bringing in more people from the outside than producing on the inside? Well, this is what happens when you get fat, dumb, and lazy. And you're not fat, dumb, and lazy because you're simply fat, dumb, and lazy, even though if you look at the American population now, we're getting fatter and lazier. And depending upon where you go to school or what kind of education you've given yourself, you're getting dumb. But with success comes failure. It's like there's a thing in the business world that says within three generations of a company having been founded by family, the family typically doesn't control or isn't as successful in the industry as its founders were. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. There are exceptions. For example, Ford Motor Company has been run by family members at the top since its founding. But generally speaking, if somebody starts a business and then they pass it along to their kids, by the time it reaches the grandchildren, most of the grandkids either don't want to be involved with it or don't have any knowledge of it or just simply live off the money of it and don't care about what's going on. And what we've become is we go from somebody who's highly involved with the industry, somebody who's involved with the industry, to somebody who doesn't care about the industry. And that, my friends, is where we are now with the issue of immigration or the issue of America's development and position on the world stage. You feel guilty. I don't feel guilty. A lot of people said they feel guilty. A lot of people who sit politically on the left feel guilty that America has been successful and the rest of the world hasn't been. Well, again, I have to say to that, tough noogies. We worked at it. We built for it. We struggled for it. We structured it. We advanced it. Whether you like it or not, Israel is our, I'd like to say our cousin, a child of the American Revolution, a child of circumstance. But Israel is the closest thing you're going to see to America during her struggles and birth, because it's growing and developing and expanding itself on a world stage while everyone's against it. Well, it's not, at this point in time, it's not everyone in the world, but overall, everybody wants it to comply with its their perspective of the world. And here's what I'm getting. Here's what I'm saying about perspective. When we, you know, President Trump has put a couple of things forward. And no, this isn't a pro-Trump rally. This isn't a, you know, never Trump perspective. No, this is topical discussions. President Trump put forward the idea of a point system for immigration. And then a bunch of people got up in arms. How can you say people can't come here? How can you say they don't have a right to come here? How can you do this, that, or the next thing? Well, guess what? Nobody in the world has a right to come to the United States. There isn't a soul on this planet who isn't a citizen of the U.S. or a U.S. national carrying that pretty little passport that has a right to come to the United States. And if you get your passport revoked, you pretty much don't have a right to come back either. But the issue is, who do we want here? Do we want people who are coming here that believe that the way of life where they're leaving is more important and better off, that their way is the better way, and therefore they're going to impose their views on us? Or do we want people who want to be a part of the American dream, be a part of the American experiment? And we refer to the American experiment because if you think about it, we beat the daylights out of the most powerful nation on the planet. And we created a nation from nothing, from ideas. And we held those ideas out, and we made those ideas became ideals, and we strived and we struggled to reach them. Are we perfect? No. We're not perfect. We're people. We make mistakes. We're inherently flawed. Just look at your family around you and then go outside and realize that there's somebody even crazier than the rest of you guys in your house. There are people that are smarter. There are people that are dumber. There are people that have no clue whatsoever. There are people in this country that are in their 40s and 50s that have never voted because they don't even understand the system or the principles. But overall, we're Americans because we strive for the same goals. Yeah, we have an attitude. The Israelis have an attitude. The Russians have an attitude. Chinese are working on it. The French have an attitude. They don't like anybody, but they haven't won a war since Napoleon was in charge. So they're really not big of that much of a threat. English know what side the bread is buttered on. So they're sticking with us. And most of the world wants to be a part of the A-team. We strive for the same things, for the most part. But when you sit back and you hear the president going, well, we don't want people from this part of the world coming to our country. There's a failed state over there. Or their goals, their concepts of a society don't merge with ours. Sorry if it's part of their religion, but nothing in the U.S. Constitution and nothing in American immigration law requires us to let people in that are not willing to comply by our rules and our goals. I mean, not too long ago, a kid came home from North Korea in a coma and died shortly thereafter. Because someone said he didn't follow their rules when he was there. How are we supposed to open our doors and let every piece of flotsam and jetsam come into our front door or even our back door or a window or a garage, depending upon if you are in support of open borders, and not recognize the impact they have on a society? You see, we're importing our own destruction in more ways than one. I'll touch on that when I get back. I need a breather. Sit tight. Hi, I'm Warren Markowitz, host of the Warren Markowitz Show. Catch me every Tuesday and Friday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Spreaker.com to talk about politics, economics, and anything else that just might tickle my fancy. This program is brought to you by the Law Office of Warren R. Markowitz, Esquire. Attorney Markowitz, that's me, is licensed in New York, the U.S. District Court and Bankruptcy Courts in Colorado, and the 9th and 10th Circuit Courts of Appeal. For more information or to see if I can help you with your case, please contact me at info@markowitzlawfirm.com. That's markowitzlawfirm.com. Warren Markowitz, Esquire, a modern lawyer for modern times. Cryptocurrency and traditional forms of payment accepted.
Good news, everyone!
Yes, it's good news. I'm back. All right. Here's where we're going with this. The American... I'm not really a big supporter of the Sierra Club, but I'm not really an opponent, if you know what I mean. I understand what they're trying to accomplish. I understand what they want to do. Nobody I've ever met, okay, I don't know about you, but nobody I've ever met wants to live in an environment in which the water is dirty, the land is contaminated, the air you can't breathe. Let's just say some of the cities in former Soviet Russia, some of the cities in modern China, they're so polluted and damaged and dirty that you really have a problem. Respiratory disease, bad water, bad air. You know, they make L.A. look like Miami on a bad day. So when you deal with situations like that, I think we all can agree, and this is just a broad stroke, I think we all can agree that the idea of clean air, clean water, clean soil, clean food, we don't want to look to poison ourselves. I mean, we have an impact on the environment. I'm not sitting here going, we're closing global warming. That's not even part of this conversation. It's not even a perspective I have. A clean environment, or as clean as we can keep it. And the old joke is, your house is probably the dirtiest place you'll ever be. But when we look at things like that, so I start digging around and start looking for population issues and information. And I came across a group with an offshoot of the Sierra Club. And these guys, their main difference between the Sierra Club and them is that they support all the goals in terms of environment of the Sierra Club. Plus they also deal with issues of immigration and population growth. And they look at it from a perspective of sustainability. Well, what I was looking for is how much of an impact has... or is immigration on America's growth? And one of the things that we've discovered, or one of the things I've found and read about, is that population growth in the United States is barely on U.S. citizens. Since the 1970s, we have barely made enough Americans to replace the ones that have died. So the bulk of our population growth, the 31% of our population growth that we've seen, is from immigration. And the term can be chain migration. It could be from children of immigrants. But it's from foreign-born persons coming to the United States and either bringing other people in or having more kids. And that's what I'm talking about. The issue of population growth or population control is really what a lot of these environmentalists are looking for. But the issue of population growth is fairly simple. When I say that we are importing ourselves out of existence, we are bringing more people into the United States than we are producing in the United States that support our positions, our ideas, and our goals. Now, you might say, well, that's not going to happen. That's not true. I mean, how can that be? It's America. The Roman Empire, the last long-term sustained empire collapsed for the same reason. We have issues in this country. One of our restrictions in our Constitution is that the American president has to be a natural-born citizen. Now, you can argue what the term natural-born citizen is or whatnot, but that means somebody from Peru or somebody from England can't come over here and run for president. Their kids could if they were born here. Their grandkids could if they were born here, but they couldn't. And why is that? Because we want to assure that somebody who's here has got a vested interest in the fight. And if you're going to be directing the fight from the executive office, we feel that, you know, we felt that at the time you needed to be somebody who's got some skin in the game. One of the things I see from either the border wall or the, as the left likes to call it, the Muslim ban, is that it's trying to set up a situation in which we benefit first. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the United States and its people benefiting first. You've heard the term charity starts at home. How do you give to somebody if you can't take care of yourself? How can you help to feed somebody else when you have problems feeding your own family? You can't donate money when you don't have enough to even put gas in your car or keep your lights on or your internet service up or whatever it may be. Tick, tick, tick. We have to benefit first. So if you look at things like the travel ban that, again, is being bounced around in the courts, what's wrong with blocking people from a part of the world where their governments have completely failed, yet they're indoctrinated with perspective that they're better than the rest of us? Because I don't find it difficult comprehending the fact that we're better than the rest of them. But we have reasons to say so. Our currency is the world reserve currency. As banged up and as dinged up and as argumentative as that can be, you trade things in U.S. dollars. Oil, gold, etc. Capital markets, our capital markets, are the big ones. People invest their dollars, their money here, more than they invest their money someplace else. And then, of course, we turn around and invest our stuff there. We are what people strive to be. But if you got people who come here, I mean, we did it in the 60s and 70s and 80s. If you came from a communist country and you wanted to come to the United States, you were scrutinized big time because of your politics. Nowadays, if you challenge somebody on their politics, you're being racist because the big boogeyman today happens to be Islam. And I got news for you. That's the flavor of the day. But if the Islamists weren't the ones blowing up things and trying to kill people and pretty much causing all the problems in the world at the moment, we probably wouldn't be bombing them, and we probably wouldn't be shooting at them, and we probably wouldn't be dropping drones on them, and we probably wouldn't be turning around and saying, you know what, you can't come here. We didn't exactly have, as bad as we treated the Japanese in the United States, and trust me, I think it was disgusting what was done on the West Coast. We didn't allow immigration from Japan during World War II. We didn't allow immigration from Germany during World War II. You know, Italians had it was a little bit different because of the way that the government floated up and back and the change in size. But the thing is, the Axis powers, you didn't get a chance to come to the U.S. And if you showed up uninvited, you pretty much either wound up in jail or wound up getting shot. And sometimes both. And not necessarily in that order. You see, we are in a circus situation now. We have to recognize that if we are going to continue allowing people from the outside to come in, we have to address the issue of population growth in the U.S. of natural-born United States citizens. people who advance our goals and our positions and our ideas. It doesn't matter if they're white, brown, red, yellow, or a combination thereof. It's the idea that they support and they protect and they defend the ideas and concepts of the U.S. Constitution. That includes freedom of speech and everybody else from there on down. From the 1st to the 27th, everybody, no one gets left out. This isn't a pick and choose issue. But what we've got right now is what we see right now is we actually have people that we have fought to keep out of this country for decades, developing here, being taught the concept, the idea that communism and socialism has a substantial foothold in the U.S. is beyond absurd. I'm not even talking about, fascism on the left or the right. I'm not talking about national socialism. I mean, you're going to have fringe groups everywhere. I'm talking about mainstream groups that want to dismantle the Constitution because they don't like what it says. You don't have the right to say that. That might insult somebody. Yeah, that's the reason why the First Amendment exists. It was so you couldn't stifle political speech. By the way, that's what it's about. Freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, freedom of association, freedom of speech. So you couldn't stifle it. So the government couldn't stifle it. I don't really give a shit if you don't like what I have to say. The government can't tell me not to say it. I'll give you a prime example. In Germany, the idea that this whole thing, by the way, exists in Germany is kind of absurd because the historical record is pretty much set in stone. But a Holocaust denier can be jailed. I realize it's only 75 years since the end of World War II for that point. But there are still people who were around and suffered. There are still people that can point out where these atrocities took place. And they're not just Americans, and they're not just Jews, and they're not just, people who emigrated. But in Germany, you can be jailed for denying a historical fact. In America, you pretty much get looked at like a fool and ignored. And if you happen to have a following, you've just got a bigger group of fools behind you. The idea that communism is going to defeat capitalism, as scary as it might be, it's a valid position because it's happening from the inside out. We're eating ourselves alive, but we're eating ourselves alive because we have to take care of these people who can't take care of themselves. The idea of a subsistence income, a floor on the income scale, the drive for 15 or the fight for 15 is an argument. But nobody teaches these people's basic economics. Flipping hamburgers is not a $30,000 a year job. That's $2,800 or $2,700 a month before taxes. That's another story altogether, by the way. Taxes is just plain old theft. But these people don't realize that if you're making 30 grand a year, that's $15 an hour times 2,000 hours, which is the average work year. If you're making $30,000 a year flipping burgers, that impact, those extra dollars in the system are going to cause what we call inflation. So you know that $2.50 gallon of milk that you complain about? How'd you like to complain about it at $5? You know that $2.60 gallon of gasoline? How'd you like it to bottom out at $5? Because basically what will happen is if you double the amount of money on the bottom end of the scale, or any part of the scale for that matter, and you have that money chasing goods and services, prices go up. That's economics. If you have less money chasing it, prices go down. That's economics. But we don't teach free market economics because we have too many people thinking it's unfair that people are denied goods or services because they can't afford them. Get a better job. Train yourself. Teach yourself. Read. Go to a library. Improve your own lot in life. Because you cannot raise everybody across the board and expect things not to be impacted across the board. I'm sorry, if you can't speak English and you're in the United States, you shouldn't expect to be able to advance in any sort of job. Because I don't speak Spanish, and I don't speak Chinese, and I don't speak Russian. I don't speak Portuguese or Dutch or Finnish. I speak English. I speak a very bastardized version of the Queen's English, but I speak English. And anybody who tells you that English isn't the language of America is an idiot, because what documents are written anything else besides English? The U.S. Constitution is written in English. The Declaration of Independence is written in English. The Federalist Papers are written in English. We were an English colony, or a series of English colonies. Even the French in Louisiana speak English. The whole point I'm getting at is when we bring people to the United States, they need to comport to our goals. They need to assimilate. You don't want to assimilate, go join the Amish. You don't want to assimilate, join the Orthodox Jews who decide to walk around like they're dressed in the 1500s or 1600s. Look like the Dutchman off the cigarette box. They're not bad people. None of them are bad people. Okay? You want to dress traditionally, like where your family comes from. That's part of your identity. I got it. Go for it. But don't expect me to conform to you. See, that's where things have changed. Somewhere along the line, we decided that we needed to conform to the immigrant or the refugee. By the way, that's another problem. Bringing people into this country temporarily, and they wind up sticking around. A refugee is not supposed to be long-term. You're supposed to be able to pick up and leave after you get here. Because once things are once the environment changes, you can go home. Or you can apply to stay. But you're supposed to go home. Right? The whole idea of getting refuge, safety, is because where you came from is so dangerous that you have to be able to go someplace else. You know, there's the Somali refugees that are living in Minneapolis, in the Minnesota area. The Syrian refugees that have come to this country. They have not, overall, contributed to the benefit of the United States. Can they? Yeah, they probably could. When they recognize that Sharia law doesn't govern, that the idea that people in America like dogs. We drink alcohol. We smoke cigarettes. We talk dirty. We run around. And our women dress like women, not like light bulbs. You want to be a part of the United States. When you come to the United States, I promise you there will be more people welcoming you with open arms, so long as you want to be a part of something greater than yourself. And that's what the U.S. is. But if we continue to import persons that are not compatible with our system of government and our social perspective, which is equality, by the way, whether you like it or not, again, the government is supposed to be blind. I don't see institutional racism. I see, you know, there is racism because people are naturally racist. But we learn ourselves out of that, just like we teach ourselves into hating other people. You know what? I need a breather and a glass of water. I'll be right back. Sit tight.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
The Warren Markowitz Show. If you're thinking about it, we're probably talking about it.
Hi, I'm Warren Markowitz, host of The Warren Markowitz Show on Blog Talk Radio. Join me Tuesdays and Fridays at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to talk politics, economics, and anything else that just might tickle your fancy. See you there. Okay, back on track here. Oh, by the way, if you happen to like the new drops that we put together, and a new intro, please let me know. Just send a message to Warren at GaultSpeaks.com or radio at GaultSpeaks.com. And let us know, because we worked with a new producer out of Nambia. His name is Jost. He's on Fiverr.com. It was pretty cool. He worked with me, and he was able to remaster some of the stuff I had, add some new music to it, which is really cool, and I like it. And so what I'm saying is, if you need something done, Fiverr.com is pretty much a cool place to check out. Nope, they're not being boosted because I'm being paid for it. They're being boosted because that's where I found my vendors, and these guys put together my drops and intros and so forth, and I like it. And I like working with people who are willing to put their reputations on the line. And there's my tie-in, guys. When we look at circumstances, when we look at the situations in which America puts her reputation on the line through immigration, through, through opening its doors to people that may not deserve it. See, that's the thing. We have gotten to the point where concepts like abortion are not even frowned upon, which means we're destroying ourselves for the benefit of what? Now, don't get me wrong. I do not sit on the far right or the far left of the abortion argument. I'm a practical person. I'm a father. I've got kids. I've got daughters. I've got a wife. And the idea of the abortion to me is kind of disgusting. But unfortunately, there are circumstances. I wouldn't want to be the one to tell a kid who was raped by their father, incest, or raped in general, that they must carry a child to term. I think there are circumstances for it. And this is a sidetracking issue, but it does tie into immigration. We are basically killing our posterity by considering it in place of a condom or in place of spermicidal foam or whatnot. It's become a non-event. But what we're missing is that these people that are coming in, these parts of the world that are literally overwhelming civilization, have more kids than you can shake a stick at. They're more fertile for some reason, and they have more kids. The old joke is, "Oh, you got four kids in your family? Your parents buy a television yet?" Ha ha! Knock knock. You get it? These places, okay, that have 8, 10, 12 kids, these cultures that have 3, 4, 5, 6 wives and have 72 children are literally breeding societies out of existence. And they're not making better societies, because what happens is society winds up either having to step over them or take care of them. And America is not the place that steps over those who have fallen on hard times. Yes, we have abusers of our welfare system. I challenge anybody to tell me otherwise. Prove otherwise. That there aren't people that are in generational poverty. Again, a system and situation which I think we had a lot to do with in the 1970s. The concept of the Great Society. Our government's not designed to take care of us. Because the government doesn't make anything. You complain about the depreciation of the U.S. dollar? That we're printing ourselves into oblivion? It's fairly simple. Stop spending. Stop giving them a reason to spend money. Stop letting them spend money. Limit and restrict the government to the places in which they can spend their money. Their money is our money, by the way. Because they don't make anything. The government doesn't make anything except printing money. And that they don't make either. That is printed by somebody else. We haven't printed our own dollars since the 70s. We haven't, well, we started to coin our own dollars, but the problem is a U.S. silver dollar is worth about 20 bucks, or 20 Federal Reserve notes. See the little problem here? U.S. dollars, Federal Reserve notes, Treasury bills, etc. issues. But it goes back again to the immigration issue. If we don't stop bringing people into the United States that are not willing to work to make the U.S. better, and I don't mean simply by paying taxes, because what you want to do with people who want to come to this country is you want the best and the brightest to be able to come here. A corporation, a company, an industry does not succeed by hiring guys who simply know how to turn a wrench on an assembly line. They don't succeed by having more janitors cleaning their toilets in their office building. They don't succeed by having a secretary, an administrative assistant for everybody in the building. They don't simply succeed by hiring people, which is what the United States does when it brings people in who can't take care of themselves. They succeed by making and creating an environment in which what they produce is desired by others. It's the same reason why you'll wait what feels like days on a line to buy the newest iPhone. Or you'll stand on line for hours at an end so you can go see the mouse in what, 5 or 6 or 7 different places in the world now. People need to recognize that if immigration isn't changed in the U.S., then what's going to happen is the bottom is going to overwhelm the middle and the top. Top doesn't really care because the middle's in the way. But the more they tax and the more they steal and the more they redistribute, the less there is a desire to create and build and develop and make. And just like the Romans who started bringing people in from the outside because their borders became porous and they couldn't defend the ends of the empire and they had to retreat back towards Italy. Those people, the Roman Empire fell twice between the Eastern Empire and the Western Empire between 350 and 500 AD. But those people that came in, they didn't contribute to the growth of the empire. They stripped it of everything of value. what we have in this country is more valuable than anything Rome ever possessed. We have the ideas of freedom and culture and development. And yes, the Romans had a lot of culture, and the Romans built a lot that still stands today. It's still used today. But the ideas that were laid down on paper and developed and into what we call the United States of America a short 220-something years ago, those ideas can disappear in a heartbeat when you've got people in the current generation who don't respect the right of somebody else to have an opinion that differs from theirs. If you want to see what happened when that takes over, all you had to do is turn a look at what happened with ISIS when we take over a city or an area. People would be executed, silenced, beaten, tortured. They murdered a group of kids for playing soccer or watching television because it didn't comport with their ideas. We don't do that. We ask people to respect the differences of others. Now, whether you happen to be a white supremacist who thinks that the blacks or anybody else happens to be a lower race of people, well, eventually you'll realize that you're a moron. And it doesn't work that way. Or if you're part of the Black Lives Matter movement or the Black Panthers, and you think that all white guys are dead or the devil, you'll recognize it doesn't work that way either. Because if it did, this is what we'd have. You'd have a pure white Europe, you'd have a pure white America, you'd have a garbage pit of Africa. We haven't even talked about the Asians. But it doesn't work that way. The world doesn't work that way. We are each an individual. But if you come to join a group, you don't change that group to comport to your positions. And that's what's happening. So whether or not you support President Trump and his ban, whether or not you support the wall or whatnot, or whether or not you support the idea of restricting immigration, you have to remember, floods are indiscriminate, whether it be floods of water or floods of people. If you don't control the flow of what could potentially both help and harm you, you're likely to be harmed before you're helped. I mean, Mexico itself, as a prime example, wants to sue parts of Texas for being a non-sanctuary jurisdiction. Mexico. Its people cross the border illegally. 58% of the illegals in the United States are Mexican or from south of the Texas border. And they want to sue because they think they have standing because it's unfair. It has a negative economic impact on them. And that, my friends, is what it boils down to. As always, it's about the American dollar and how much the American dollar can do for you and your friends. Think about it. We have something to, another part of the equation to talk about. I'm Warren Markowitz. This is Warren Markowitz and Politically Incorrect on Spotomatic, excuse me, Spreaker.com and Podomatic.com. Tune in again on Friday. I'll talk to you then. Be good. Bye-bye.
The Warren Markowitz Show on Red State Radio, Spreaker, and Podomatic.
The Warren Markowitz Show on Red State Radio, Spreaker, and Podomatic.